What's up, Internet, and welcome to episode 86 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Tom Agrino.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Lucas Sullivan.
And Ryan Teljanik.
And,
I've never had gonorrhea.
That's not true.
Literally whatever we talk about before the podcast starts, no matter how conclusive the end of the conversation, we'll be like, all right, time to start the show. And Tom just sitting there smiling like, I know what I'm going to say.
Also, a gonorrhea joke.
Also, how bizarre was it that we were just talking about gonorrhea?
For what? For what reason?
Yeah, why?
Lucas tried making a joke.
Right.
I did not.
Yeah. And it was done very poorly.
I did not hit her. I did not.
It was a verbal pun of sorts. It was a play on words. Clapping.
A witticism.
Is gonorrhea the clap? I don't even know.
I think that's syphilis.
My breath?
No, syphilis is...
Kissing the mic?
Kissing the mic.
Okay, anyways.
So, yeah. Radio Radar, episode 86. Been a pretty busy week. Ryan and I were out on Monday, so this week feels kind of weird.
Hell yeah, vacation day.
Woo!
Ooh. I had jury duty on Tuesday.
Oh, how'd that go? Did they call you up?
No.
Man, I got called up last time. It was awkward.
Yeah. I just sat around for like 7 hours. They're like, all right, we don't need your ass.
That's what I did, too.
That's the best situation.
It's really not the best situation.
I mean, in that situation, that's the best situation.
It is the best possible outcome of some really shitty outcomes.
Because
I don't understand why they get so hung up on this, like, oh, you're doing your civic duty and you should feel so proud about yourself and check out this American flag right
now. It's for the same reason that they try to tell you that it's good luck when a bird poops on your car. It's trying to make you feel good about a shitty situation.
Because you have to be there.
Should just be honest. Like, hey, you don't want to be
here. They're like, you could leave right now, but you'd be missing out on your civic duty.
Right.
Also, you'll get a fine and or arrested.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, own it. Own it.
Yeah, like you should get the letter in the mail and open it up, and the first word should be sorry.
It's kind of like a deterrent to crime in this way, because it's like every year everyone has to go to jail for a day. This is what it's like.
Yeah.
It's basically the scared straight of being an adult.
Right. Exactly. That's why I don't have a driver's license or want to vote ever again.
Or gonorrhea.
they're all related.
Yeah. All right.
Let's jump into the top seven.
Uh-huh.
Which is the top seven game characters you're wrong for hating.
Mm.
Starting with...
Number seven.
I thought he remastered
this. He did. They got really quiet in the second half.
Oh,
this is uncomfortable.
Yeah. Bummer.
Who did it?
Who did it?
What's his name?
His name is... my plan was to have it open on my computer...
And then you forgot.
Wow. He's the old ones.
Wow.
Peter Saville.
Oh, Peter Saville.
Remixed these.
Percival.
Remix. So, let's.
That's my Jesus.
So the drop. I need. So Peter, if you're listening, the drop off needs to be
clearly an issue. We
need to be a little less of a drop.
This is the live test.
Needs to be a little. So basically, good.
Yeah.
Number six.
Good.
Yeah.
Like a subtler, a little bit subtler.
Like maybe a fading,
and it could be a little louder.
Yeah.
Bit of a roller coaster.
Sounds
drop.
Good.
There we go.
Number seven on the list of game characters you're wrong for hating, Tom Nook.
Mm. I never understood the hate for this guy in the first place. I only ever, I am very aware that a lot of people hate him, and I think the idea being because he basically, you're a serf to him, you're an indentured servant.
Yes.
Forever paying off your loans to this man. But
who's Tom Nook?
He's the little raccoon guy in
Animal Crossing.
Just for clarification for people who don't know.
So yeah, Animal Crossing, you show up in town. But the reason that I think that people are wrong for hating him is because he does much more good for you than he does bad. Because you show up in town in Animal Crossing, you have nothing. And he walks up to you and he's like, yo, bro, you want a house? Go choose anywhere and you can build a house there. And then he builds the house and he's like, all right, I know you have no credit. No material objects, anything. Pay me back literally whenever you have a chance. And that's basically all he does.
Yeah.
It's an interest-free loan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then once you're done, he's like, hey, you got a nice house. If you want, totally up to you.
Not
I can make your house bigger.
Yeah.
So you are technically constantly paying him back.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of the Sally Mae of the...
He sounds like my contractor, actually.
He does?
Because it's just like, oh, yeah, I could give you this awesome thing. It's entirely your prerogative. you'll be indentured to me forever because I'm not going to tell you how much it's going to cost, but I could do that. It'll be fine.
And your reaction is?
Huh?
It's part of my new soundboard.
Huh? Is that me?
That's it's Lucas.
Oh.
That is a reflection of you, Tom.
Oh, that's
is that why you immediately perfect. Turned and looked at Lucas? Because it was...
Huh? Beautiful... Well, I wasn't sure if it was me or Lucas.
Huh?
Is it the...
Huh?
All right. All right.
Listen, I'm excited. Spent like 10 minutes on this yesterday. But yeah, Tom Nook is number 7 on the game characters you're wrong for hating. Number... Oh, hold on. Nope. 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 Gotta listen to the...
I want to hear the... Huh?
Number 6.
Again, that you need that fade.
Wait,
is gonna,
did it just stop or did you just...
Hands free.
Number 6.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's,
yeah,
that's
it just drops off a cliff.
If you turn, if I turn the sound, the mixer all the way up, you can hear it.
Oh,
but it's,
I see. Okay.
You won't do that.
Anyways.
Again, we really genuinely appreciate these. This is just feedback on the fly.
Personal.
Somebody, me, didn't test these before we started. So we got to do it as we go. Number 6 is Dante, specifically from DMC.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, this was such a drastic change that, you know, people were, as Lorenzo wrote an article about the other day, threatening to kill the people responsible for Dante's redesign.
And also, people mentioned in the comments, too, that the developer is also being a douchebag.
I mean, it doesn't really warrant death. It makes it better if he's being a douchebag.
The article I wrote was about death threats, so it didn't really warrant death threats, but if he's a douchebag, it's kind of more understandable.
It's more understandable to try to kill him and his family.
I guess so.
Douse them in gasoline and set them on fire.
Yeah.
What are we listening to right now?
Lines from Dante.
Oh, I see. I was talking about setting a man on fire.
Man.
Here's him with a white wig.
This man is on fire.
He gets all angry at his white wig and throws it off.
Not in a million years.
Spoiler alert.
But no, I think he was a fine character. Maybe he was a little bit crass.
Vulgar.
In the beginning of the game. And
I didn't give him enough time.
And I don't...
So off-putting in the beginning.
See, I didn't mind him too much, and I don't think he was... I thought by the end he was totally fine, but...
I think that's the thing that made him so good for me, is in the beginning of the game, he is terrible.
The tool.
Like, he is garbage.
He's a D-bag.
He's a D-bag. He's a punk arse...
Not at the beginning.
He's a super D-bag in the beginning.
No. He answers the door, butt naked, and then the girl's like, you gotta get out of here.
Thing to do.
It's a D-bag thing to do, but then the girl's like, you gotta get out of here, and he's like, okay, I mean... Sure. He's not like, who the F are you? Get out of here. That's a true D-bag.
He's a cocky D-bag.
So she said, you gotta get out of here, and he didn't say.
Huh? No. He said, okay.
He's a pretty big douchebag in the beginning, but by the end of the game, he has character development, unlike original Dante, who is the coolest guy you've ever met. Always.
Always.
Yeah.
Eats pizza, doesn't wear an undershirt, but has a nice coat.
Doesn't he chop up a pizza at one point?
Yeah, and then he eats it mid-battle.
Yeah. That was 3. That. I think that was
3.
It was.
Beginning, yeah.
Number 5.
Oh! That was weird.
It was closer.
Number 5 on the list of game characters you're wrong for hating, Baby Mario.
I still hate Baby Mario.
Why would I not hate Baby Mario?
Well, let me find Baby Mario's audio.
First of all,
he cries.
He's a baby.
He's a big baby.
Babies are terrible.
It's true.
You woke up the baby. That's from Hellboy 2.
Yeah.
That's Mario?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me why that's not awful. Tell me why that's not the word.
Yeah.
We are biologically wired to hate that sound.
Yeah. That's why you go to the baby to take care of it.
You're biologically wired to hate the sound, not the baby that makes it. In the game, it is a baby that is pretty cool with everything.
Difficult.
He's riding on the back of a dinosaur in the scariest place ever.
Okay.
Not making a sound. And the only time he cries is when he's being kidnapped by Kamek, who kind of looks like a pedophile. Why wouldn't he cry?
He's also a baby and not cognizant of those things at all.
I mean, babies know that they don't want to be kidnapped. That's why they cry.
They wouldn't know who's picking them up.
They would know that they have a wet diaper.
That's about all.
Babies don't like strangers always.
Maybe.
Sometimes.
What do you know about babies?
I've been around them before.
Look, I've had two of those things, I'll tell you. They're no joke. They don't get much better when they get older either.
You got to feed them. You got to clothe them. Take them to school.
Take them to school.
They're ungrateful. You know, they don't know what you have to spend to put them through those things and to clothe them.
On top of the alimony payments you have to make.
And when you're old and decrepit, not even. Like, they're going to abandon you.
Yeah.
Because you invariably did a terrible job raising them.
You know, or they'll...
Or they'll,
or they'll ask you to co-sign on student loans, and you'll do that, and then they'll put themselves into hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and then you're just screwed.
Aren't your kids, like, five?
Yeah. They're already going to college?
No, they're not going to college.
They'll never.
Private school.
They're probably not going to go to college.
Oh, no, fuck that. They're never going to college.
Yeah. It's an intellect thing.
You're not going to ICanAffordCollege.com.
Number four.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
Number four on the game characters you're wrong for hating, Ashley from Resident Evil 4.
Oh. I didn't hate her.
I never played Resident Evil 4. So,
you just have to do the new game plus, get her that armor, and it's all good.
So basically, she is the president's daughter.
Okay.
And you are sent to miscellaneous country or miscellaneous place in Spain.
Yeah, Spanish town
slash castle.
Castle thing.
And you rescue her, and you have to sort of, the rest of the game is kind of a light escort quest to.
Oh, okay.
Bring her around. So a lot of the research I did for this article was just looking up lists of the most annoying game characters and then like scrolling and going like, nah. So she showed up on like all of the lists because people thought she was annoying because she constantly got captured. But she only gets captured if you don't do your job in protecting her.
Right.
And she actually hides pretty easily when you're like, yo, can you hide in that trash can? And she's like, okay. And then she hides in a trash can, and then you go kill a bunch of Spanish guys.
Most people would give you some flack if you say, hey, go get in that dumpster.
Are you sure? This is a dumpster in the middle of Spain.
Yeah.
And like a village in Spain.
It was probably like, oh, Spanish food is disgusting. I'm not going to get in there with rotten Spanish food.
That Spanish rice, it just can't do it.
Jamón.
And she can't
handle ham.
She can't take damage, right? Like, she can't die.
She gets picked up and carried away.
Yeah.
And the guys that carry her away do it slow as shit.
So it's not hard to...
Leon!
You just have to shoot things.
I feel like, so it's unfortunate that, the hatred that she harbors is a result of just shitty mechanic design, really, is like, if it's a fetch quest that, or an escort quest that people hate, it's not so much a character. It's just they hate what that character means for the game.
Right.
So that's unfortunate because she's probably a nice lady.
Probably.
I think the other Resident Evil games that had co-op like throughout the entire game, those characters were more annoying for me. Like Sheva and...
Sheva was only annoying when you played it with AI because she was garbage and you'd be sitting there like the zombie would be eating your neck and she'd be like, hey man, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything to save you.
And then they'd get stuck. Like, they always get stuck somewhere, and you have to run back and, like, try to unwedge them.
It's usually they're stuck behind, like, a destructible crate.
Yeah.
And it's like, am I really going to have to smash this crate because you don't feel like walking around it?
And you're just knifing a crate. Somehow that breaks it.
Trying to remember what combination of buttons you need to hold to knife a crate, because it's, like, six.
I've never knifed a crate.
Oh, man, you missed out. Man. Resident Evil 4 has some okay crate knifing. Resident Evil 5 is probably the height of knife in crates.
Crate knifing.
And then you got fence knifing in Battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That's the strongest fence knife ever.
Yeah.
Oh, did you... A knife. I would always just throw a grenade.
No, just knife it.
The fence.
Oh, I see. That's probably...
The chain link fences. You can break all those with a knife. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You're wasting ammo.
I was wasting grenades.
That's
fences.
How much
that's
is
expensive
a grenade
ordnance?
I mean, I never killed anyone with a grenade, so I may as well just use it on the fence.
That's because you always used them on fences. You never had them in the opportune times.
Yeah.
I wonder how much a grenade costs.
I'm going to look it up.
How much is a grenade?
Cost of...
I'd buy a grenade.
I'm
going to
guess like
$150
bucks.
I would not. That's just a lie.
I would throw a grenade.
I would throw a grenade.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want it in my house. Like,
no, I wouldn't
around.
Keep it in my house. I would keep it like in the garage or something.
I'd bury
it,
probably.
Like a cement box.
What if your dog dug it up?
I don't have one. I do have kids that like to dig around in the yard, and that might solve a couple problems.
Find a little ring in the ground. Pull it up. Oops, it's a pin.
No, what the fuck? Because
let's go around the room. How much do we think a hand grenade costs?
I'm going to go with $45.
$200.
$400.
$80.
$27.
Oh,
cool.
Jesus.
That's it? for
I've eaten 27.
I've eaten Taco Bell meals for more money than that.
What kind of grenade are we talking about?
Yeah.
A frag delay grenade. The basic, your basic,
your
like,
basic
5 second delay.
$27.
I'd throw a couple. I'd throw a couple of those.
Grenades are cheap as shit.
Those are cheap as shit.
Flashbangs? More expensive.
Really?
Well, because a grenade is just like, it's a bunch of gunpowder and a lighter is basically what it is. And then a frag grenade is like, oh, you got to get some different gas in there.
That's crazy.
It has to explode non-lethally,
right?
Which is a harder process for explosive equipment.
It really is, because it's like a regular one is like basically you're throwing a knife at somebody. And it's like, I need to be able to throw something that's not going to hurt them that much.
There are single bullets that are probably more expensive than
single bullets.
I mean, like those big old.
What are you talking about? Like
slugs.
50 caliber bullets.
Yeah, those big old bullets.
Slugs. Those big old bullets.
How those much? Things are big. Huh?
Wait, how much are those bullets?
I don't.
How much
know.
Is a 50 caliber bullet?
Yeah, go look
one
that up.
50 how much, caliber bullet.
How much is a tank artillery shell?
I don't know.
Oh, hell, it's got to be really expensive.
Just one shell. Like, what does it cost
we
in the military?
We should do a feature that's like,
how much money do you spend in an average battlefield?
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
Not even counting the tanks you're destroying. Yeah. Hold on, I'm on
we
this.
We
got to
bleep that so no one steals.
I mean, tanks are like $1 billion.
50 caliber ammo is like $3 per round.
All right.
Oh,
that's still pretty expensive.
Yeah.
$3 a round.
Yeah, considering there's those like Gatling guns that shoot like 500 of them in like 2 seconds.
500 rounds in
times
2 seconds.
$15,000.
Yeah. Well, isn't that
divided
what they say?
Divided by a minute.
Doesn't the heavy in TF2 kind of say like firing this weapon
he
costs direct like $200,000 a minute or something like that?
He does.
Yeah. Hmm.
Something like that.
Meet the heavy.
Meet the heavy.
Huh. You know, I never really appreciated bullets and
The bullet.
All right, let's do artillery round.
What about
like a dumb, unguided artillery round?
Yeah,
dumb bullet.
How much?
A dumb bullet.
Dumb bullet.
For a $100.
I'm guessing this is.
No, it's
hard to find it exactly. This says an artillery round, which is basically just a tank shell.
Okay.
This would be like shooting out of a mortar.
Okay, I'm gonna go just $65.
$87.
$350.
$63.
$1.
$1,500.
$1,500?
Oh, my God.
Wait, so Jesus. That's a fucking contract. The contract involved in that is usurious.
All right. Also, I'm really looking forward to next week's corrections section, but let's do one last one before we move on. Tomahawk cruise missile. Tom.
Tomahawk cruise missile. I'm going to guess
$200,000.
$25,000.
$10,000. $12,000.
I feel like I'm on the Price is Right.
$575,000.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
Dude, we spend too much on the military.
Yeah.
You know how to say it right now.
That's crazy.
You fire one of the. I would fire a missile by accident.
Like, whoops, there goes $500,000.
Yeah. Half a mil.
Good God.
Wow.
Insane.
That's crazy.
What were we talking about? Those like hit cliff walls.
Yeah. Here we go.
Number 3.
Ooh, chills.
Just a slight,
A little dip.
Waluigi.
Waluigi.
I don't know much about Waluigi.
Waluigi. Who are these people?
I mean, he looks like a deviant. No doubt.
He does. I was just going to say, I could see maybe hating him based purely on his looks.
Racially profile the shit out of that guy.
A lot of people say they don't like him because he is a worthless character. He is only showing up. He's never been in a main Mario game of any kind.
His first game was
Wario's doubles partner in Mario Tennis. Because they're like, well, shit, who's friends with Wario? We don't know.
He has none. We gotta invent one.
Yeah. He's in some of the racing games, but in Mario Kart 7, there's Waluigi's pinball, but he's actually not a character you can play as.
Oh,
they just didn't put him in there.
Maybe he's unlockable.
He was my go-to in Mario Kart DS.
It's because he was baller.
He was real good enough.
He's also, so that's one of the reasons that I think he shouldn't be hated, besides the fact that the hatred for him is just misguided.
It's misguided.
He's super good in every game he's in. In the tennis games, he's always like, there's always like, oh, Mario's middle, Bowser is strong, Peach is light, Waluigi is tricky, which means he basically hits curveballs exclusively.
Yeah,
and it's like he always does weird things.
He's lanky. He's got like extra reach.
It's funny. And it's funny because they always have to, like, he doesn't have lore. Mm-hmm. For as little lore as Mario characters have. So, like, in Mario Tennis, it's like, oh, everybody has their special move. And it's like, what his? It's like, he floods the tennis court? I don't know. Like, it's always they That's have to try bizarre. So
it's a plumber
hard.
Thing. Yeah, it's, not a it's an evil plumber.
He's
thing.
Actually one of the wet bandits, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
From Home Alone?
Yes.
Sticky Pesci. Fingers. So they put their, what do they have? Those like little sticky gloves? Yeah. Like, bleh, into so the coin door?
Sticky bandits.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wow. That was quite the reference.
That was good.
Two. Ray.
Wow. That was a rough one. Anyway, number two is Tails from the Sonic the Hedgehog series.
What I will say Tails. About these intros is he's very consistent. So it's like right after his voice cuts out, then bam, smash cut to...
What's his name again? Peter?
Peter Sabal. Percival.
Percival?
Peter Sabal.
Peter Sabal.
First of all, big fans.
Yeah, we love your work, so please don't take this the wrong way. I'm just now realizing that maybe it sounds like we're bashing it. Trust us, we're not.
We will definitely promote anything you want us to promote.
Yes. Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You were about to shit talking, weren't you?
No. I didn't want him to feel like we're... I was just imagining Dragon. If I had made this for a program I really liked, and then they're like, wow, this is... What the fuck? It's a...
Well, honestly, no. It's. I mean, he gave ingrates. Us... We, the other ones we needed, I needed to constantly play with the soundboard to get it to fade in and out. So he wanted to make it easier. So we still have those old ones. I just don't have them on my soundboard right now. Peter just really tried to make our lives a little easier. He did a good job, but...
Henry Gilbert is here.
Henry Gilbert is here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
H.G. Wells. H.G.
Wells.
You want me to tag this guy in right now?
No, we're good. Number two is...
Not at all.
Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog. Any of you guys hate Tails?
Miles
I actually
Tails
always liked
Howler.
Tails.
Like, he never really bothered me because in, like, Sonic... what is he in? Sonic 2? Sonic 3?
Two.
He just kind of runs around with you, and he just runs off and dies. The only time it really pissed me off is when I was like, hey... Little brother, come over and play Tails so you could fly me around the stage. And then the auto Tails would just die and I wouldn't have him for a while. Yeah.
I didn't realize I was supposed to hate Tails until I was told I was supposed to hate Tails.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I hated him.
Why do people hate Tails?
For one of the reasons a lot of people use is they say like it's sort of the beginning of the end for Sonic in terms of like Sonic.
What?
Well, in terms of like one of the things that made Sonic get crappy over the years is just like, oh, Sonic has friends. You guys liked Tails, so here's a million other friends. So he was sort of the beginning of that.
He was the gateway friend.
He was the gateway friend. Yeah. He was the Tom, MySpace Tom.
Yeah. I feel like that would be Knuckles because, you know, the hero has a sidekick. That's fine.
But
whatever.
But
Batman has Robin, but then once they added Knuckles, it's like, Knuckles... another friend.
I even liked Knuckles. Like I liked.
Did you like? Did you like cream?
I don't know what that is.
Did you like
cookies?
Did you like Rouge?
Shadow.
I haven't played Sonic games since Sonic.
What about
Knuckles?
Rouge?
Oh, she was
Rouge
awful.
Is the bat with huge tits that you wrote about.
Oh, right.
An article about furry.
So
like.
He wrote a love letter to.
Yeah,
you,
I don't like Rouge
no
either. She weirds me out.
But yeah, but Tails gets a bad rap. Also, as I pointed out in the article, his name is kind of offensive.
Tails?
Miles Tails?
Miles Tails Prower. His nickname is Tails because he was born with two tails.
Mm. Yeah?
That's like a disfigurement.
That is funny.
It'd be like calling you
like,
six
yeah,
toes.
I also loved my ignorance. Like, yeah, that's totally acceptable. Like, let's...
Because, <Yeah. laughs> I mean, it's like somebody calling somebody Stumpy who only has one arm.
Yeah.
It's because he's a birth defect and they've just assigned him a name based on that. Some people in the comments pointed out that in the cartoon, he says that that's his self. He gave himself that nickname because he didn't like the name Miles.
Just because he was being ridiculed and tried to own
probably.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, his regular name is Miles Prower. Miles per hour.
See, I didn't get that until you told me.
I get that now.
Knuckles the Echidna. Knuckles the Echidna. No, it doesn't work.
It's a good one.
Number one!
That was
almost.
Again,
so
that
close.
Was close. Number one on the top seven game characters you're wrong for hating, Navi from Ocarina of Time, who was on almost every list of the most annoying game characters I could find on the internet.
Yeah. I never hated Navi.
See, I would argue she's significantly more helpful than she is annoying.
Yeah.
A lot of the time she's pointing out some really useful information.
She might be a little overzealous.
And how does she get your attention by that phrase people hate?
Yeah.
Hey.
Because she just says it too much. She needs to mix it up. Like, hey, listen, or hi.
Let me
open up your ears.
Listen, hey, listen, hey, listen, hey, listen.
All right.
She's got a bit of an accent.
Does it ever happen?
I was just noticing
like
that.
Yeah.
The best you can get in the game is like a.
Hey, listen, hey, listen, hey.
I think like you get two sometimes. sometimes. I think it's usually like if you like hit the button wrong. Mm. But yeah, she only really shows up to point out shit that you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd argue that a more annoying thing is in Link Between Worlds when you have like two hearts left and the game is just like
oh, the alert that does not go away until you get yeah, that's really, really painful. Yeah.
That's a classic feature of the Legend of Zelda series.
Yeah, it's rough. But yeah, Navi is dealing with the fact that she is trying to get a... How old is Link at the beginning of Ocarina of Time?
9.
9-year-old boy to save the world, and he is a lazy hunk of shit.
Mm-hmm. He really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like a lot of the times that she's saying, hey, listen, she's pointing you to stuff that you just don't want or need.
I feel like that's now. Like, it's like, I already know how to look up. I've played this game 4 times. But the first time you're playing this game, it's just like, oh, shit. Yeah. I can look up?
There was no Z targeting back in the day. Yeah. So you'd be like, what does this mean?
She was basically Nintendo being like, we invented 3D gameplay, and we're going to have to explain it to you via, hey, listen.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Hey, listen. So that's it for the top 7 game characters you're wrong for hating. You can check out a new top 7 every week on GamesRadar.com.
What's the upcoming one? It's coming up.
Give a hint.
I'll say one of the things. Companion apps.
I have a companion.
It's like who asked for that?
Who asked? A companion.
Find out next week. All right. Ball Z.
We will be right back with current events. Stay tuned. Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar. Welcome back to Radio Radar episode 86. We've lost a Lucas and gained a Henry Gilbert.
Hi.
Henry, what game is this from?
Well, it's Mario Sunshine.
Yeah, it is.
Just it was the yahee that both of you latched onto.
When I heard that, like that sounds like a shine get.
It is a shine get, specifically.
The tropical music, too.
Mm-hmm. And what game is this from?
Take a suck.
That'd be the game of the year, Yaiba.
All right. I got a new soundboard, and I'm excited. Current events. Let's jump into news. So Microsoft has revealed that the Xbox One is launching on September 4th in Japan. Mm. Tom,
yeah.
Do you think they should even fucking bother releasing in Japan?
I don't know. I mean, it's this weird... the easiest and obvious answer there is no. Just because they have never, ever, ever made any ground there.
Yeah, I looked up the numbers. They sold 2 million original Xboxes in Japan total and 1.6 million Xbox 360s. The Wii U has sold more in Japan than the Xbox 360 to date from the day it launched.
Wow. I mean, there's so many obvious reasons why they shouldn't that the fun becomes why would they? Like, what? What? Why?
Well, that's the challenge.
I mean, but still... Wrap your head around 1.6 in the grand scope of things. It's not a lot, but it's 1.6 million is still a lot of.
They had to work for that 1.6. Yeah. They had to build studios just to make Japanese games for Japanese gamers. They had to localize all of their games, and it's not like in a lot of European countries they'll just like shove the English track in and put just text on the bottom. It's like, this is Japanese. It's actually a pretty complex language that's different from a lot of the other ones. So,
and it's different than like saying, hey, we're going to release the game in Uzbekistan. Because it's like, if they're releasing in Uzbekistan, they're just putting the game out there. They're just putting the system out there. They're not trying to kind of like woo the Uzbeki crowd. They're just like, you want it? Here it is. Don't kill any chickens.
And if they're going to release it,
Is that a thing that happens in Uzbekistan? Do they eat chicken over there?
I don't think everybody does.
But I mean, just like...
No religion is against chickens.
It's true. Is that true?
No,
Is there any anti-poultry religion? Well,
not that I know of. I just remember this was a joke on The Simpsons where Homer, for some reason, thought he was the Messiah, and he was talking. He was talking to everybody. He's like, "Yeah, look, you guys have food restriction. You Muslims have your food restrictions. Jews, you have yours. Indians too. But what we can all agree on is that chicken is delicious."
That's fair. But anyway, Japan, they're like, all right, we're going to get, as Coop just said, we're going to invest in studios. We're going to get big name talent. We're going to advertise the fuck out of this thing.
And with the Xbox One in particular, they're trying, like, one of the reasons they were slow to release in territories is because, like, those Kinect features of voice commands, those are different in every country.
Yeah,
and that's a major part of the system.
It was hard enough for, like, our British friends to have, like, they had to speak with America, at least when they first got the system. We asked them, like, did this work better with American accents? If you spoke American accents, like, yeah, it kind of did, actually.
Yeah, they said that they had actually, like, there's somebody in the office. They would actually go around, and whoever had the best American accent, they noticed that that person was able to get the Xbox One to work more frequently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd hesitate to call the voice commands a major feature. It is a feature you can
Microsoft
use.
Wouldn't hesitate to call them that.
Well, I know, but, I mean, there's no requirement that you use voice commands. And didn't they say in those regions that some of them, they're just not bothering with the voice stuff?
I guess the question is, so the original Xbox sold 2 million in Japan. Mm-hmm. The Xbox 360 launched earlier than the PS3, was cheaper, and they got basically an exclusive version of Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy, and broke all of the major multi-platform or all the major Sony exclusives to become Xbox 360 games, mm-hmm. and sold 1.6 million in a longer generation. This time around, their system's more expensive, has a peripheral that Japanese gamers want even less than American gamers because of smaller game room sizes, and they don't have any of those exclusives. So what I talked to Tom about it. Like, maybe they're even being like, well, what if we invest no money in it besides the bare minimum? Then we'll make some
money
back.
Let's just put it there and not have any advertisements or whatever. But, I mean, they are getting... I don't know how many exclusives they have, but they get like D4, which is from the guy who made Deadly Premonition. But that seems just to them. I think in general at E3 they were announcing games like D4 to just get like hardcore cred. They're just like, oh, see, we're not. We talked about TV last month a whole lot. We did, but look, the Deadly Premonition guy's making an exclusive game for us.
We read NeoGAF. It's cool.
So I also think that we've. Like in game stores in Japan, like the 360 is nothing. Like it's a tiny section, like a Vita section in American GameStop or whatever. And that there was a time, I think, really starting in like 2010 or 2009, that major multi-platform releases in America, the 360 version wouldn't even get released in Japan. Like the companies weren't, like companies like Square didn't publish a. Final Fantasy 13 regular was a PS3 exclusive in Japan, and same with Metal Gear Rising Revengeance was not released on 360 in Japan. It's just like publishing it, all the work had been done on it, but just publishing it on the system was not worth it to them. Making copies was not worth it.
And maybe this is totally off base, but my sense is too that, you know, obviously, Sony is a significantly bigger company in Japan because it is a Japanese company. Mm-hmm. And isn't there also like this element of loyalty?
I think it's loyalty, and you know they are a foreign company, and I think there is a level of unwillingness to go with a foreign company on stuff, and also especially on electronics. Like, they're American. American electronics are like known as not as good as Japanese electronics, and especially like the Sony brand means something. That PlayStation is a brand that's a huge deal there still. Like even though the Vita is slowing down a bit, the PS3 didn't sell as much as the PS2. That's for sure in Japan either. And then the PS4 is slowly taking off, but I also just wonder. It's like they don't have much appetite for consoles as a country now anyway. Like, they've been buying fewer and fewer consoles each year.
It feels like handhelds have gotten, like, especially even like the 3DS's visuals are good enough and built. Or like, the 3DS especially is sort of like so many of the features that I think Henry did an article about it where it's like the length of certain Nintendo games are dictated by how long is the average train ride in Japan. Like, they're making games that work so well for Japanese audiences, whereas games like... Rise aren't going to speak to them, or even games like Killzone aren't going to speak to them.
Well, and like also, Sony said one of their publicly stated reason for not releasing the PS4 until February in Japan was that they didn't have any Japanese games, and I think it was just their feeling of, well, if we release with something that isn't a major Japanese franchise, nobody will care when we release it. Mm-hmm. Like, they needed a Yakuza game and a Metal Gear game around launch time. Which by, and also, well, there's no reason to publish an Xbox One version in Japan, but there is no Xbox One version of Ground Zeroes there planned for Japan either. Like, so.
Yeah, so it's just a weird. So, Ryan, you think that it's worth them investing in releasing it there?
Well, I think it's... I have no idea what the cost is to do it and how much they're planning to recoup from that or make from it. But for me, it just seems more of like a saving face kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. they're going to do it because
they
got to
be a global company.
Yeah.
A global company releases in a major territory like Japan.
Yep.
Other big news story. Let's spread the pessimism in the other direction. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of people have left Naughty Dog recently. Causing some, including... Some of Games Radar's employees to think that Uncharted 4 is in some kind of trouble. Does anybody think that's the case?
Next Last Guardian.
All these exits are very suspicious. Like, on the outside, when you see high-level people leaving places, like, this is what happened with, like, I guess starting about 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, like, people started leaving Epic. Like,
right.
Like, Cliffy B, I think it was Mike Capps, I believe it was, like, high-level dudes there. And
Rob
then
Ferguson.
And, yeah, and you see now, well, what are they doing? Well, they sold off Gears. They don't have any games announced. Like, they are...
Well, they have Fortnite is a Game Informer cover, so they are actively moving forward with it. But
they're... Clearly, things were changing at Unreal, and they didn't want to make us their major franchise anymore.
Yeah, they controlled the last generation, and then when the end of the generation rolled along and this generation started, they just kind of went like, "Oh, we forgot we needed to keep doing stuff."
Right.
Well, part of it felt like it's because the people in charge all left and they were lacking guidance.
Well, and then that whole thing with Unreal 4 is like has a like almost a free to play model for using it, like
right.
You can,
which
pay.
Is cool.
It's a really neat way to deal with it. Yeah,
is it free?
It's $20 a month.
Yeah,
$20
but that's
month,
for the
or,
full thing.
Or you give them a part like 5% of your profits or something.
I think you have to do that regardless.
Okay, so you see all that in the past and at other companies. Then you see it Uncharted, or you see with Naughty Dog, who were like on such a roll, and here they were starting up their next one, and then Amy Hennig leaves, another writer leaves. Who is also the only announced voice for the game? Artists, like it's big stuff. Like those high level people are the ones who watch over a game until it comes out. And so when they're gone, like it shows at the very least a major shift in direction of Uncharted 4. And I also think this will be one of those things you'll only find out in like if Jeff Keighley does the final hours of Uncharted 4 thing like he's
right.
done, and those are really good. If he did one for that, I'm sure he'll explore like this time and they'll go like, yeah, all those people left and we had a totally different game and then it became this. Like they talked about.
We decided
about
to go
with,
kart racer.
Like they did with like that was a lot of the message in Portal 2. Like when they talked about Portal 2, that one changed a whole bunch on the way there. So it doesn't mean Uncharted 4 will be bad or worse for losing those people, but all we know is who's leaving. We don't know what's getting fixed.
Yeah. So I think those were the only big news stories from this week. Anybody remember anything else? No? All right. So, Lorenzo, you previewed a bunch of games last week. I'd say the two biggest were probably Skylanders and Lords of the Fallen.
Skylanders. Let's talk about Skylanders.
Let's
first.
Do it.
Yeah. So the newest Skylanders is called Skylanders Trap Team. And each one kind of has like a gimmick. So there's like the giants which had bigger characters. They're a little more expensive and they could do special things in the game. And then there's the swap force ones that could, you know, change elemental powers and stuff. This time it's the trap masters, and these guys have like crystal weapons and they're super strong. I think they're stronger. I think they said that they're stronger than the average Skylander
bear?
Character guy. Mm. Yeah. The Yogi.
Is that the name of a bear in the game?
No.
Oh, Yogi. I thought you said the Yogi.
No.
Like it was some kind of weird creature I hadn't heard of.
No, I'm just making up names.
But, that's fine.
this one, the thing is that there's the Trap Masters, which are the basic new Skylanders. They're probably the premium price characters, so like the same price as like the Giants or the Swap Force characters, like $14 or something.
Probably. Are they that expensive?
Yeah, they're pretty expensive. They're getting up there.
They sell a balls ton of them, though.
Mm-hmm. Exactly one ball ton.
Yeah, but the big thing about this one is it comes with a new type of portal. And
The portal acts the same as the other ones. You put your characters on, you swap them, and they'll switch in-game. And they also come with these little prism key things that you could stick into the portal. And those are used for when you fight these villains in the game. When you go and fight these villains that have escaped from this prison, and you have to go and capture them, you fight them, you beat them, and then you stick one of those prism things into the portal, and it captures them.
So
this, into that
it's
key.
Just a Pokeball.
Yeah, basically.
Or like and, a Soul Stone from yeah. Diablo.
Ooh.
And they get sucked into the portal, and the portal has a little speaker, and they talk to you outside of the game in through this little
wow.
speaker.
Wow.
So it's like toys come to life outside
that's
of the
game. That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
So you could collect 40 of these villains in the keys, and you could swap them out with your characters in-game, so you could actually have, like, multiple characters that are like instant change. You don't have to swap out the actual figures. So there's 40 of those guys. There's like 30-ish new standard and trap master characters. I don't know how many of each, but it's a lot of new characters and stuff, and same old gameplay as the other Skylanders games. So it's pretty sweet.
Cool.
I liked it.
When's
it
due out?
Interesting. This fall, I believe, in October.
Surprise.
Yeah.
All right, and Lords of the Fallen is pretty much the opposite of that.
Everyone, every time yeah. I hear somebody talk about this game, and I've seen brief clips of it myself right. at various events and stuff, but every time I hear people say it's like Dark Souls, but prettier or something.
It looks like Dark Souls the way it plays.
When I saw it at E3, they flat out said we were inspired by Dark Souls' gameplay and that you are... It's about, like, you are in, like, a one-on-one duel with an enemy, and either of you could kill each other, and you're sort of blocking and parrying until you kill them, and then you're moving on to another powerful enemy.
Yeah, right? I mean, I've only seen, like, super brief clips, and I haven't ever played it, so I was just genuinely curious.
I saw an extended gameplay demo. It was like, this catacomb dungeon area the guy was running through, and your character is a predetermined character, so you can't just make... whatever you want, like in Dark Souls. But you could choose different classes. So there's the standard warrior, rogue, mage kind of classes and the respective weapons that would go along with that. So you could have, like, dual weapons, big swords and shields and big axes and hammers and that kind of thing. You also get elemental powers, like you can shoot fireballs and do all this other stuff. But when he's running through this dungeon, it felt a lot like Dark Souls because, you know, you're kind of creeping around waiting for, like, ambushes from, like, monsters and stuff. And they did really just come at you, like, one at a time. So, like, he went to go open a chest, and as soon as he opened that chest, a spider dropped from the ceiling and he had to fight it one-on-one.
Oh,
and then he'd, like, run into an arena-ish area, and one knight, one big heavy dude with a sword and shield would come up, and he had to, you know, circle strafe him and, like, do all these things to, you know, knock him off balance, get a couple strikes in, move around some more, and it was like it was a involved battle between
each person. Everything I've seen of it looks really pretty, like crazy good looking.
It looks really cool. The art style is really kind of Warhammer-ish.
That's kind of the vibe I got from it too.
Yeah, a little bit Warhammer-ish. The gameplay feels like a Dark Souls game, sort of. You're not really doing the one swing, like, attacks. You'll do more of, like, strung together, like, arcade-y style combos. I also saw one of the boss battles, which was kind of like a Dark Souls boss battle. He really had to, you know, study the guy's movements, do dodges, and, you know, block certain attacks. And then there was a small window, and he could get a couple of strikes in, then he had to back away. So it really felt like Dark Souls, really pretty. Kind of excited for this game. So.
Did they mention when that one's coming out?
I think it was end of 2014. I might be wrong.
And Namco's publishing this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's very strange that Namco would publish a game that's copying one of their biggest hits of the last decade.
If it's another big hit, they can make a lot of money off it.
Yeah.
It seems to me that Namco's biggest success story now is Dark Souls. Like, People weren't as into Tekken. The last couple Tekkens are Soul Calibers or Ace Combats, but they're into this.
Yeah, they're fun. Fun to say.
Yeah. Speaking of Dark Souls,
Moving on to reviews, Ryan, you got to play the PC version of Dark Souls 2. Mm-hmm. How does it compare? I know there's been a lot of interest in
that. Well, you know, you remember the first Dark Souls PC port was absolute garbage. You had to, like, download a player-made mod just to even change the resolution. So it was bad news.
I think, didn't one of you guys, like, interview them about it? Like a while ago.
Well, they were pretty open with the fact. I mean, the only reason that the first Dark Souls PC port ever even happened was because they weren't going to do it, and then they got a shit ton of petitions, and so they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll do this. We've never really put anything on a PC before. Like, here we go.
They just opened up the original file, exported it as 720p, yeah. And they're like, this is what you guys wanted, right?
Yeah, and so it was an absolute mess. But the PC port for Dark Souls 2 is. It was way, way, way better. Control scheme, if you're a mouse and keyboard player, still really rough. You can at least rebind everything. But there are so many things to map that, like, the default setup is just garbage. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really easy to accidentally attack NPCs because you have to use a lot of, like, shift key modifiers. So if you left click, that attacks. But if you hold shift and left click, that interacts with people and objects. So it's like, if you're not holding it down all the way, you'll accidentally kill them. And they're, you know, it's just like really, really bad. Yes. You can rebind everything, but I still highly recommend just plug in a 360 controller. Yeah. This game plays significantly better with a gamepad. But on the options side, in terms of, you know, resolution change and PC tweaks that all PC gamers really want to have in their games, it's got everything you could want in there. It looks really, really amazing. Even on my, like, mid-range gaming PC that I have here at the office, I was running at a full. It also locks at a full 60 frames a second, or it can run at full 60 frames instead of 30, like it's locked on the consoles, which makes a surprisingly big difference. Mm-hmm. All the action feels a lot quicker, and, you know, it feels like you have a lot more control over what's going on. But yeah, the PC port's awesome. You know, weird mouse and keyboard controls aside,
and. Even though you don't need to download a bunch of mods to get this one to work, there are those mods already. PC Gamer worked with the guy who made the original mods to get him
I saw he – I don't know that he modded it. I think what he did was he went in and was kind of giving them his take on how the port was.
No, they released a mod that a few hours on their web – on PC Gamer's website.
Oh, okay.
It lets you go up to like – 4096 by 4096 resolution for like multiple monitor setups and different rendering effects and ambient occlusion. Like you can download from PC Gamer. He has modded the hell out of it to make it even better looking.
Yeah. Wow. So, but the default options are just as competent as most are in PC releases. So, really good. Really good.
And Henry, you reviewed Mario Golf World Tour, is it?
Yes, the opposite of Dark Souls, which, you already did that. You already called something the opposite of Dark Souls. I'm being repetitive. Yeah, so it is, you know, the repetition of my statement fits because Mario Golf World Tour is very familiar to its previous games. Like, they didn't change up the controls pretty much at all. Like, it is just the classic, like, click, 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 and you take your shot, and golf may sound boring to people, but like their arcadey spin on golf is still really fun.
Yeah, they do a good job of, like, I remember playing like a Tiger Woods game, and when you'd get to this situation where you had to putt, it would be like real life. If you don't know what you're doing, you're going to hit the ball 80 times. Even when you get it close, you're still going to just fuck it up. But they managed to, it's still not easy, but they managed to make it like, they took away a lot of the annoying sim stuff you usually find in those games.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a sim, and it didn't. Yeah, it gives you. It's a lot like the Mario Tennis game that Camelot put out last year too, where it would seem their assignment was just, "Hey, you made one of those on the GameCube. Could you make another one?
Right?
Like, don't change too much," which they didn't. But unlike tennis, they put a little more effort into it than they did with the tennis game. And so, like, it's fully featured. It has all these great characters. It has, like, 3 18-hole courses and then 6 9-hole courses. And the 18-hole ones are, like, the classic, what you think, like, if I'm going to play an epic game of golf against either the computer or my friends or online, then 18 holes is where it's at. But if you want to get a better sampling of types of levels, like, You get 9 holes of Princess Peach's course, which has like Mario Kart style boost things on the ground, or you play golf underwater and there's like water pipes that shoot your thing.
Yeah, they did a good job of making like the 18 hole ones feel like standard golf game stuff. Yeah. And then it's like, all right, you did that. Time to fucking play underwater.
Let's get weird. Let's collect rings. Let's collect coins.
Right.
And there's a ton of stuff to unlock, like it kept me coming back to. And also there's the Castle Club. It's a neat little place to walk around and just buy some new shoes for your me and stuff. It's just – it's a lot of fun. If you've ever liked the golf games, you're going to love this one. And also if you're just looking for a simple sports game that also has like online play and like asynchronous online play mm-hmm. as well. The only downside is if you like playing single cart multiplayer with your friends, doesn't support that. But it is such a – there's so much information in like an entire course to share. I guess that you can just chalk that up to technical limitations.
Too big of a game.
Yeah. And this has a DLC, like a season pass even, which I feel like is the first ever Nintendo season pass. It's very surprising.
Yeah. So what score did you give it?
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Awesome. And you can check out reviews of both of those and plenty more, including like we got a review of Hearthstone this week.
Yeah, we finally got one of those in.
So our Skylanders.
Elder Scrolls Online should be posting soonish.
Cool. And plenty more. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, jumping into the community segment and a special question of the week with some special prizes.
Ooh.
What?
Stay tuned.
I'm excited.
Welcome back to Radio Radar, jumping into the community segments, but before we get to the question of the week...
Corrections!
You screwed up.
Tom Agrino.
Oh, no.
This isn't a hard screw-up, but one of the first responses on the one was from TCMU 287.
Okay.
To answer Tom's weirdly ignorant questions about weaponry, yes, pole arms were used quite extensively.
This isn't a correction.
Well, you said that you didn't think they were used extensively, and he's saying they were.
Oh.
They were most famously used by the Swiss armies.
I didn't say they aren't.
Let the man speak, Tom.
I mean, I'm just...
And yes, the handheld scythe, which he doesn't know the name of, that the Dothraki used were real too, mainly in ancient Egypt, but they were definitely real weapons. I dismiss your crock of shit.
I asked honest questions. He gave me good answers.
How come nobody asks the real hard questions in games journalism, Tom Marino?
Yeah.
Real hard questions.
Why are you including a halberd in your game?
Why, how many features do you have specifically?
What
hard questions?
Were your inspirations for including a halberd?
Do you have any plans on sequel or DLC?
How did the multiplayer work?
When is your release window?
Tell me.
Journalism. Question of the week. Last week, was there ever an instance where you got so stuck in a game that you quit? You want to read them, Ryan?
Yeah, I'll read them.
Cool. This is embarrassing for you.
Awkward Loser says, yes, Spider-Man Maximum Carnage was the first or second game
shit.
I ever played.
Me too.
Lawnmower Man was the other. Growing up from about 1996 to 98, I could never get past the laboratory stage of the game. In 98, I sold my Super Nintendo for a PlayStation, and I'd kind of be haunted of my failures as I was and still am a huge comics fan. It wasn't until 2010 that I would download Maximum Carnage via emulator, turn on cheats and bulldoze through what turned out to be maybe a 2.5 hour game.
Really?
So many memories of Maximum Carnage.
Yeah, it was one of those games.
I couldn't beat Carnage.
Clearly you can think of it now and see like this game is so hard because they barely made any of it.
They needed to make it extremely difficult, otherwise you'd beat it in... At the time of a movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you play those arcade games, like the Ninja Turtles or X-Men arcade game, like, boop, over in 30 minutes with unlimited quarters.
Yeah. There was, like, secret rooms in Maximum Carnage, I think.
Yeah.
I think
you're right.
I remember jumping at a ATM for, like, 3 hours thinking that I could get into a secret. I'm not sure if there actually was.
I just really liked
room.
The red cool. cartridge. That's what I liked.
Yeah, that was nice.
Universal Tofu says, Guitar Hero 3, Raining Blood, that is all.
Raining Blood.
Yeah, there were a bunch of people that commented on that were like, that broke them, basically.
Yeah. Super Giraffe says, all right, so I've been playing video games for most of my life. One of, if not the first game I ever played, was Ocarina of Time, which unfortunately required me to save skills that I did not fully possess at the time, or to have skills that I did not fully possess at the time, such as reading. An important one, yeah. I know simple tasks such as get a sword and shield seem easy now, but when you can't understand the instructions being given to you, it can be hard enough to make a young child quit. I also remember being terrified of the game because I didn't understand the story and interpreted the scene at the beginning where Link is woken up as a dead body being revived by a glowing ball. Wow. And I thought I was playing as a corpse.
Man.
And finally, Bladed Falcon answers, nowadays, I only stop playing a game because I get bored or lose interest in it.
Ooh.
But when I was a teen, however, I did get snowballed by that stupid jet boss fight near the end of Final Fantasy X. I never figured out how to beat him, and it didn't help that the boss theme was this awful and annoying Japanese pseudo-metal song with obnoxious grunting vocals.
Yeah.
God, that's like the Chocobo theme songs in Final Fantasy XIII.
I love that song. Chocobo Rock, like...
Oh, come on,
you
want to
get on a ride on this Chocobo, getting on the Chocobo Rodeo.
I fucking hate that song.
They even sing... Like, they even have... Like, they mention, like... Pull out the Gishu greens.
I don't know
like
why.
It's accurate.
It's just a terrible song.
It's awesomely terrible.
Are you just singing Persona music?
Yes, he is.
The winner, because of your response resonating with the community so much, is Universal Tofu. Guitar Hero 3 definitely broke a lot of people.
Yeah.
So shoot an email to RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com and include what consoles you have and what kind of stuff you like, and we might send you something.
We'll send you something.
Yeah. Question of the week this week, what is the prize they'll be winning? Let's talk about that first.
All right. Well, so here's a pretty cool situation. We have 12 Child of Light codes to give away. Two for each of the not all platforms, for PS3, 360, Xbox One, PS4, and PC, and Wii U. That's six, right? Yeah. Two for each of those platforms. That we can give away. Now, the embargo for that game, the review embargo, does not lift until Monday morning, so I cannot give you those codes until then.
Well, we're not gonna give out codes until next Friday. Anyway.
Okay, well, anyways, so whenever you get the codes, just keep an eye out for them. Now, because the review embargo is still in place, I can't say anything about the game other than that I've completed it, and that you will certainly want one of these codes. So
yes. So
are you sure we can't give away one less code? Just
I'm sure.
The PS4, maybe?
So in the game, the dialogue is all in
iambic pentameter.
No, it's not iambic pentameter, Tom. It's just written entirely in a ballad rhyme.
Limerick.
Yeah.
Yes. So in order to win one of these 12 codes, you need to write a short poem in rhyme.
Yep.
That explains why you should have you deserve the game, and you have to work in which console you want it for.
Yes.
Into that.
Oh.
So a short, just a few lines, 2-4 lines, make sure it rhymes.
Mm-hmm. It has to rhyme.
Nice.
And work in the why you deserve it and what console you want. And we will be giving them out next week on the podcast. And we'll read our favorite ones with some fancy music in the background or something.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I am a child of light and deserve it on the Wii U.
Wow, that was really good.
Yeah,
wow. I have one too.
All right.
Don't ask me to do this.
It's plain to see the Child of Light should be mine on the PS4 tonight.
Oh, yeah. Good job, almost. I'm just kidding.
Excuse me.
Wait,
what's your
fucking
poem?
I missed the rhyme.
Night and light.
Oh. Okay.
It's plain to see the Child of Light should be mine on the PS4 tonight.
Got it.
I need a game because I have been bored. So why don't you give me Child of Light on the PS4?
Duh.
Let me try.
Assonance.
It's four. It's almost time my heart is done. Give me Child of Light on the Xbox One.
Lorenzo.
Don't look at me.
You got to do it. I'll give you the rhymes. Let's do, how about, we haven't talked about Xbox 360.
Oh my God.
Let's just do.
Fix me.
Yeah.
What the hell am I going to talk about?
My PS3 is screaming, fix me. So give me a code on the Xbox 360.
Okay. Oh,
you did it! You
can we have like a clapping? Something on the soundboard. There we go.
Beautiful.
You deserve that. Yeah, job, that's for you, buddy.
I won it.
Ryan gets two codes.
So yeah, write us a rhyme about why you want the game and what console you want it on.
Yep, and we'll read out the winners next week, and maybe we'll give them out before we even get to next week. Who knows?
Just
maybe
give you a stealth giveaway.
Maybe a stealth giveaway. We'll see. We'll play it by ear. Thank you for listening. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
iTunes.
iTunes reviews would be, we'd
wonderful.
Like them. And honestly, here's another thing. We have no problem doing special episodes for spoiler casts or stuff like that. Leave iTunes reviews. 5 out of 5, obviously, if you can, if it's in your heart. But in there, mention what kind of special episodes you'd like to hear us talk about.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And we will, and Henry will do them.
Henry.
Just me. One man podcast.
One man podcast.
Wait, we need Henry's joke of the week.
What?
Joke of the week.
Joke of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, I have an intro jingle. I have an intro, or actually, I just got music for the background.
That's very confusing music.
Go ahead.
Let's see here. All right. Well, so this may surprise you when you guys look at me that you think, darn it. It may surprise you from looking at me, but I'm a bit of a geek. And, you know, actually, I'm, as you can see by my Spider-Man t-shirt, I'm a big Spider-Man fan, which explains why I'm very angry about Spider-Man coming out next week, because I hated the last one. I think my biggest problem with it is that the main character, or Spider-Man, is played by Andrew Garfield. And it's just really hard to talk about it. You just go like, yeah, Garfield is Spider-Man. Garfield's playing Peter Parker. He really hates Mondays. Loves lasagna.
Well, where's the round of applause? Yes. That's beautiful.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you.
There we go.
All right, so... That's it for Radio Radar episode 86. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.